must be where the bomb is. A single unpaved road led to it. A lone Humvee was parked outside it, ancient and dusty brown, with faded lettering on its doors that read U.S. Army. Somebody's in there, Stoner realized. With the bomb. Slightly more than 10 kilometers away stood a group of 3 concrete bunkers, clustered together in the bare landscape like an alien presence in the Arroyo-seamed land. There was a parking lot off to one side. More than a dozen trucks and vans were lined up there in neat, military, precise rows. Further off, almost lost in the dust-hazed distance, was a landing strip and a small glassed-in control tower. Must get pretty warm in there, Stoner thought, with all this sunshine pouring down. The thrumming noise of a helicopter reached his ears. No, he saw, 3 helicopters. All 3 of them were unmarked, as if the occupants didn't want anyone to know who was in them. Raúl's in the one on the left, Stoner realized. He sensed Tavalera's presence, even though he didn't make a firm mental contact with him. Raúl doesn't want me in his mind, Stoner knew. I fiddled with his head enough to make him angry with me. I'll have to make amends to him somehow after this is over. With the lightest of mental touches, Stoner identified the others in the helicopters. Sister Angelique was riding with Tavalera, together with Archbishop Overmyer and the President of the United States, and that man Melillo from the White House, and a half-dozen Secret Service agents in dark suits that bristled with sensors and weaponry. Ling Po and General Bakhtiar were in the other 2 choppers, each accompanied by their personal staff people and bodyguards. Stoner smiled to himself. They don't fully trust one another. Can't say that I blame them. High overhead, a squadron of fighter planes etched thin white contrails against the otherwise unblemished sky. Honor guards, Stoner thought, although he knew the fighters were prepared to attack anything that threatened the VIP's helicopters. Joe's presence sounded in his mind. You know that this is a trap, she said. You've got a suspicious mind, Stoner replied lightly.
I know how they think, how they work, Joe insisted. I was a captain of industry once, remember? Not a starry-eyed scientist like you.
Stoner smiled inwardly. Joe, they're trying to take a step toward disarmament.
They could blow that bomb instead of disarming it.
And kill the technicians, just to get to me?
That's what I'd do if I were in Overmyer's place, she said implacably.
Well, I'm glad you're not, then.
It's a trap, Joe warned again. They want to kill you.
With a sigh that was almost reluctant, Stoner said to his wife, Well, they can try, I suppose. He was waiting for them as their little motorcade of black minivans drove up to the observation building. Standing at the entrance to the windowless concrete structure, squinting slightly in the blazing late morning sunshine. The minivans they rode in were painted dead black. White would be better for the desert, Stoner thought. They pulled up and the bodyguards got out first. American, Iranian, or Chinese, they were all pretty much alike, Stoner thought. Bulky men in dark suits and darker glasses. There were 2 women among the Americans, none with the Chinese or Iranians. Then the politicians stepped onto the desert. The president, with Melillo and 3 others, General Bakhtiar and his staff members, Ling Po and his people in their high-collared blue jumpsuits. Archbishop Overmyer waddled out of a 4th minivan, wincing noticeably as the harsh desert sunshine struck him. Sister Angelique and Tavalera followed him as the entire procession hurried toward the air-conditioned comfort of the observation building. Stoner heard Tavalera half-whisper to Angelique, I told you he'd be here. Angelique nodded and said nothing. The 3 groups headed quickly toward the building, separated from one another by a few paces. They stayed separated, Stoner saw. None of them said a word to any of the others. None of them even looked at the others. 3 separate units, he thought. 3 sets of world leaders with Neolithic attitudes. My tribe above yours, my people are human and yours are not. He shook his head in frustrated despair. How can they ever work together? The entire procession hurried past Stoner without a word or even a glance and rushed into the cool shadows of the building's interior. Tavalera, bringing up the rear, seemed uncertain, but then stuck out his hand, almost shyly. Stoner grasped it in both of his own. It's good to see you again, Raúl.
Yeah, Tavalera muttered, almost reluctantly. You too. Sister Angelique moved between them.
You are to go with the technicians to the building where the bomb will be dismantled, she said to Stoner.
Fine, said Stoner. I presume you'll all get back to Tahiti in time for tomorrow's closing session of the conference.
Yes, of course.
I want to address the delegates, the scientists, and the political leaders.
Angelique closed her eyes briefly. Then, it will be a plenary session. Everyone will attend.
Good. She pointed to a group of six men who were trudging out of the building to a waiting minivan. They all were wearing Western-style business suits and looked decidedly uncomfortable in the desert heat.
You should be going with them.
To witness the dismantling, Stoner said. Yes, I know.
But he hesitated.
Something about Angelique's expression puzzled him. She seemed eager, worried, expectant. She licked her lips with a swift motion of her tongue. Her eyes evaded his. Something's bothering her, Stoner thought.
She's anxious about something,
his wife told him mentally. She's got a lot on her mind, Stoner replied.
It's more than that, Joe said. We should dig into her head and find out what's bothering her.
No, Stoner said. I told her I wouldn't probe her mind without her permission. We'd be just as bad as that sadist Mayfair.
He sensed his wife's disdain. You're too close to her for your own good, Keith.
Jealousy? The possibility surprised Stoner.
Caution, Joe answered. She's dangerous. You pushed her away and she hasn't forgotten it, or forgiven you for it.
You've been into her mind, Stoner accused. He sensed Joe's cool amusement.
I don't have to probe her mind. I know how I'd feel if you rejected me.
Stoner smiled to himself. I'll be careful with her, he promised.
Joe said, So will I.
For a moment he thought Joe might be right and it made sense to probe Angelique's mind, but he decided against it. Whatever's bothering her will come to the surface soon enough. Studying Tavalera's face, he saw that Raoul was unworried, unconcerned. In fact, it looked to Stoner as if Tavalera was enjoying his chance to see the high and the mighty at close hand. I hope he's not too disappointed with them.
They're waiting for you, Angelique prompted, gesturing toward the minivan.
Stoner nodded. Flashing a grin to Tavalera, he sprinted toward the minivan and climbed in beside the driver. Tavalera watched the minivan growl into motion and head off for the distant building, kicking up a spurt of sand and gravel.
Come inside, Raoul, said Sister Angelique. Where it's safe.
Safe? He asked, stepping through the doorway. You afraid I'll get sunstroke out here? It was pleasantly cool inside the bunker. That's what this is, Tavalera realized as he looked around. A concrete bunker. Walls thick enough to stop a missile. Steel doors. Safe, she said. Tavalera shrugged mentally. I bet even if they exploded the bomb out there, we'd be safe behind all this concrete. Rick.
It's simple in theory, Rick said to himself, but a little trickier when you actually try to carry it out.
He had engineered the nanomachines and the specific enzymes they carried in the starship's biolab. It had been fairly simple to hack into computer files in several governmental research facilities, despite their protective programs and highly restricted accesses. In each of the tightly guarded facilities, Rick found confirmation of what the starship's own files had told him. Reverse transcription. Engineer an enzyme that will deactivate a specific gene in an organism's DNA. In this case, deactivate the gene that produces the narcotic effect of the opium poppy. That had been simple enough. And engineering nanomachines to carry the enzyme and insert it into living poppy plants, like a purposeful man-made virus, had given Rick little enough trouble. Now he had to deliver the nanos to the fields of poppies that grew amid the wild craggy mountains of High Asia, and in the carefully cultivated government-owned poppy farms in the Anatolian hills, the rocky pasture lands of Macedonia and Greece, the parched littoral along the southern edge of the shrinking Mediterranean Sea. He could see the fields in satellite imagery from a dozen surveillance satellites that orbited the Earth. They know about them, Rick realized. Governments know about the opium poppy grounds and do nothing about them.
Worse, they take a share of the profits from the opium.